AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com. Inflation. Missing infant formula. Gas and diesel prices through the roof. Title 42 and a crisis at the border. Russia's brutality in Ukraine and a disrupted global food supply chain. This is a complicated time for the country and for agriculture. Let's figure out what it all might mean for you in the months ahead.
Live from a republic under economic siege via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, it's our Friday free-for-all panelists, Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, and yours truly. Right after the news, Jennifer Shrike from Farm Journal's Pork. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, welcome the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis Michelson.
Hey, buddy.
Good morning. You okay? The economic siege is coming out with guns blazing. You all right this morning?
As a journalist, as a reporter, as your handsome newsman, I've really, really tried hard to maintain a position of political agnosticism.
Okay.
You know, I don't want to take sides. I don't want to take sides, and I shouldn't. I don't know.
It sounds like you're taking sides.
I'm not taking sides, and I don't want it to sound like I am.
Okay.
But it's making me nuts. It's making me nuts. It's
I hear you. I hear you. This week, there have been several happenings in the news around the world that really make you scratch your head and say, what in the world is going on? We're going to talk about several of those issues today, and I think right at the top of the list of the things that make me wonder, do they not understand, or, as you were saying earlier, Davis, do they really truly understand, and what is happening is exactly what they want to have happen?
I think they do, and it fuels my agnosticism politically when one side does something that's like, what? And the other side doesn't do it, has no response, has no teeth.
Right.
So where is the actual American to turn in that situation? Oh, I know. Let's watch the Johnny Depp trial instead. Watch this shiny thing for a while, okay? But just let the smart people worry about it.
That's Captain Jack, man. Of course it's going to get people's attention.
I'm all kind of fired up.
Okay, we could go on
I'm sorry.
About this for a while, but let's get started with the news. Welcome. I'm Chip. That's
Hello,
Davis.
Everyone.
Glad that you are here this morning.
Happy Friday, everybody. The Senate overwhelmingly approved a $40 billion military and humanitarian aid package for Ukraine. That's its largest foreign aid package in at least two decades, bringing America's commitment to almost $54 billion. The Senate also confirmed Bridget Brink as the American ambassador to Ukraine, filling a post that had been vacant for 3 years. Meanwhile, Reuters reports that the White House may give Ukraine advanced anti-ship missiles, which could help defeat Russia's naval blockade and allow grain shipments to resume. Russia remains steadfast in prohibiting Ukrainian grain shipments.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's either going to be the anti-ship missiles or U.S. vessels in those waters, in those international waters, in an attempt to get some of the grain out of Russia. We'll talk to Jim about that coming up here in the free-for-all, but that certainly feels like that's the direction that we're headed.
And this is related. Watch this. Egypt has refused to allow a shipment of undocumented Ukrainian wheat to land at its ports, the country's supply minister said in an interview with Bloomberg. Egypt is in talks with Ukraine about how to receive contracted wheat while export routes are blocked. The Ukrainian foreign minister tweeted that he was, quote, grateful to Egypt for turning away a Russian ship loaded with grain stolen in Ukraine, Chip. That's quite the wrinkle.
That is very much a wrinkle. That is Egypt, the biggest wheat importer in the world.
Yes.
Getting involved in trying to, I guess, sanction Russia one way or another.
Well, according to Freddie Mac, the average rate on a 30-year fixed home loan this week was 5.25%, a more than 2 percentage point increase from the final reading in 2021. Homes continue to spend a little time on the market, although home sales overall have slowed slightly thanks to tight available inventories. AAA reports the average price for a gallon of regular unleaded gasoline in the United States hit another record on Thursday, posting the highest national average recorded by AAA since they began tracking fuel costs in 2000. U.S. diesel prices are the highest ever, with warnings of shortages, especially in the eastern U.S. Meanwhile, propane has nearly doubled in price from last year. The Biden administration will soon announce a plan to give small oil refineries more flexibility in fulfilling older biofuel blending quotas. The plan, now under White House review, comes as EPA prepares to deny scores of refinery waivers. Chip, I imagine we'll talk about this.
I guarantee we will talk about that.
Legislation that would allow the president to bar selling gasoline at, quote, excessive prices passed the House on Thursday. As Democrats seek to address record high prices at the pump, the bill is not expected to garner Republican support needed in the Senate, though Democrats are expected to use the bill's passage as a talking point ahead of the upcoming November elections. And in a letter to the National Economic Council, members of the Rail Customer Coalition urged the council to address freight rail service as a critical element of strengthening the nation's supply chains. Jeez, I can't even talk today. I'm so fired up.
It's all right, buddy.
Open the chute, brother.
There's that excessive prices.
Yes.
You know, I still want to see the calculation that gets to excessive. I just don't.
What is
quite understand how that's going to be enforceable. We'll figure that out if we can, coming up here in just a little bit. Thanks, Davis. Let's bring in Jennifer Shike, editor of Farm Journal's Pork. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
All right. So, Jennifer, how does a new sow barn in Wisconsin make national news?
Well, that one fired me up a little bit this week, just keeping on the theme of you guys here this morning. But, you know, there was a story that came out about a pork producer, A.V. Roth, in Wisconsin, putting up a new hog building. And why it made the Associated Press and went all over mainstream news is beyond me, because there's really not much of a story there. Right. His permit was approved by DNR as long as he abides by his nutrient management plan that's been put together by a professional that he respects. There should just be no issue for the water. But the reality is he's a fifth generation farmer who's been in this beautiful area of Wisconsin his whole life. And, yeah. You know, it's his dream that he can keep that farm going for his kids and future generations. So I guess it's just testament to the attack that animal agriculture is just always under.
Yep, that's exactly right. I love AV's mention that they are using the on-farm sustainability report. That's a smart step by AV, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I just wanted to plug, you know, if people haven't seen them, you know, we've got stories all over porkbusiness.com that you can check out about it. But these reports really help make it clear for anybody how practices are actually helping the environment and helping keep the farm sustainable and profitable. And it's just really cool information that really puts all the pieces together.
Yes, absolutely. Porkbusiness.com. Jennifer, good work on this one. Keep the coverage going on it. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, Free for All up next on AgriTalk.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Clarifly Larvicide, your feed-through fly control solution.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
AgriTalk is brought to you by United Animal Health, where their science allows you to maximize your genetic potential. Learn more at unitedanh.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us for the free-for-all. I'm your host, Chip Flory. I'll be trying to keep the conversation going here this morning. Davis is going to be in on the free-for-all.
I was watching Johnny and Amber fight. Sorry.
Gotcha.
Let's get Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, let's get things moving forward. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Chip.
Hey, Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning. I want Jim's synopsis of that trial and what he thinks the outcome is going to be. Please, please, please.
So, Jim, do you even know what trial we're talking about?
Is that the Johnny Depp one?
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, I've been watching it.
I knew it.
Mm-hmm.
Attaboy.
Mm-hmm.
It's everybody's guilty pleasure to take a peek at it every now and then.
Absolutely. The overlords will be pleased with you, Jim. Marks. Positive marks for you.
Better than watching the Nationals.
Okay, you know what, I'll give you that one. All right, you guys, Jim, do you think that the administration wants energy prices to fall?
No. And that's
Sean
why
Haney.
that's how I translated the hearing this week.
Sean Haney, same question to you.
Deep down, yes.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I think everybody does at the like. But if the reason why I say deep down, because on the surface there's a lot of, as we, you know, we I just think on the surface there's so much political motive here, that the opportunism with them being high to push, you know, where we can go with green energy. But on an individual basis, if you talk to them in their backyard while they're barbecuing and having a cold one, of course, nobody wants to pay these kind of energy prices.
Right. Right.
For fuel. Okay. So that's how I would explain it.
All right. I think we know where Davis stands on it.
I would agree with both Jim and Sean. I feel like they're willing to exert a certain amount of pain to get to the point to where, oh, well, we got to have an alternative to this. To me, what's bothersome is that there is an alternative to this. It's clean burning ethanol, clean burning biofuels, which is cheaper at the pump. But nobody's talking about that. It's the massive jump to a green world that really isn't ready to be realized yet.
Right. Right. It's a great point. Now, what we're talking about is Interior Secretary Holland, in testimony yesterday, would not say that gas prices are too high. The other comment that was made by Energy Secretary Granholm was that she thinks that energy prices, current energy prices, will accelerate the country's move to clean energy. Jim, that's where you're getting your interpretation, right?
Absolutely. And that's, and I think that's their game plan.
This is
see, and the problem is there's just a whole bunch of gray area in the middle, and there is no silver bullet to this. And just saying, you know, we need to move to green energy and all of our problems are solved, that's the made at home solution, you know, we're going to be so much better when we get to that, is layered with so many levels of naivety. It's amazing to me.
Oh,
we need all of these different strategies, clean burning ethanol, as Davis mentioned, green energy, increase in drilling output. We need all of these strategies. There is just not this one singular silver bullet that is going to get us out of it.
And Haney,
well, nobody seems willing to stand
up. We need it for years. It's not like, oh, let's just do this for the next 2-3 years. That's not enough of a transition. We need it for decades to take that approach is what we need.
Yes, there needs to be a transition. It's not just shut off the switch and turn that switch on. There needs to be that transition. And, Sean, you mentioned that gray area. You know, that gray area, Chip, you used the word transition. I think you're both talking about the exact same thing. But it does feel like, and maybe this is political, maybe it's, you know, with November coming up so quickly and feeling like maybe those folks are going to lose their grip on power. They need to push this forward as hard and as fast as they can. But you go back to the free market. If it works, if it's affordable, if it's better.
Jim, we need to move on from this, or else it'll dominate the entire time. I'm going to give you last word on this.
I think that they're setting up for their last-ditch effort in Congress, you know, the Democrats with the White House, to pass a major energy bill through budget reconciliation again. And I think that this is playing right into that, that they need that energy bill.
Oh, goodness. Okay. That this is going to be a topic of discussion for several free-for-alls to come, but we needed to get to it. Jim, I think from there I want to go to the comments from EPA Administrator Regan, or the plan, I guess, that is at the White House that includes some flexibilities for refineries on the old biofuel quotas. What details do we know on that?
Well, they're going to come out pretty soon by June 3rd, and it looks like they're going to try to lessen the pain for what some in the industry say is a lack of available RINs, Chip. So they're going to give them that so-called flexibility.
Okay, they've been playing a dangerous game for a long time. They've been shorting the RIN market by not fulfilling their blending obligations. We cannot if they are given some flexibility on the 2020, 2021 and 2022 blending obligations, then Michael Regan, EPA Administrator Michael Regan, is not his action would be different than the words that he has been speaking basically since he took the job, guys.
Yeah, it's the last group they talked to, Chip. So make sure that you monitor who OMB and EPA is talking to the last before the announcement. You know, at a Fast Markets conference yesterday in Chicago, when I got this question, I told them, you know, in some ways, this is similar to the college tuition request to just, you know, forgive it, or, you know, forgive a lot. That you knew what the rules were, but when you took out the loan, the industry knew the rules of RINs and things like that. And yet, once again, they're trying to find an end around.
Yeah. Haney, like I said, they've shorted the RIN market, and EPA may be, this suggests that EPA may be giving them a way out of it.
Yeah, well, I think it's tied to the original part of the discussion that we were having here, is that you know, this administration has got to prove that it sees ethanol as one of the solutions, as a big part of the transition. And similar to the prior administration, they were conflicted in that situation, you know, for different reasons, but this is one where the political leaders say something and then all the actions don't necessarily lead up to what they've been saying. There's elements and there's weeks where it's like, hey, this is great, but there's a lot of actions where it's like, huh, you know, that, what is that song? The things that make you go, it's it feels very much in that category.
Well, here's the deal, guys. Here's the deal. For the administration to accept biofuels and ethanol in particular as as a step in cleaner burning fuels would be to extend the life of the fossil fuels and liquid fuels and the combustible engine. And that could be where we are running in to some. I mean, Granholm said it, Jim. Go out and buy an electric car right now. Yeah. Right
yep.
now.
Yes.
Electrify.
Yes.
She said it yesterday.
Well, and so, when California has blackouts in the summertime,
yeah.
then what's her recommendation?
Not if, but when. And it won't be limited to California this summer.
East Coast. Hello.
Record heat coming to the East Coast, I saw.
That's right. That's right. This is it's just absolutely unbelievable to me that the amount of issues and struggles, absolute struggles that are facing this country on the energy front are by design. And
well, I'll give EPA the benefit of the doubt until the announcement, Chip, but this really calls into question, once we get that announcement, whether or not Regan will have credibility at EPA if he doesn't follow through of what he's told.
Absolutely. We'll keep the free-for-all going here next.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farm incentive to see if you're eligible.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from ProFarmer.
And joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. We've got a lot of movement in the markets again today with so much of the pressure, so much of the selling pressure focused on the wheat trade. Brian, spring wheat leading the way to the downside. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, the wheat market started with a bang, and it looks like it'll end with a thud here. Just heavy selling pressure. So we're seeing more liquidation by the funds we've ran up to new contract highs in the spring wheat futures and HRW contracts earlier in the week on Monday on the Indonesia stuff and just didn't sustain it through the week here. Some rains in the forecast near term for the central and southern plains, and that's put some pressure on the market. And, I would, with this spring wheat futures leading it, I would assume that traders anticipate that some of those acres will get planted up there, even though the forecast doesn't look real conducive for that.
Exactly. Soybeans doing just the opposite, making another solid move to the upside. What's happening there?
Well, absolutely. Just a strong move in the face of all the pressure that we've seen in wheat and in the corn market this week by soybeans. Soy meal helped out. And then today, soy oil is helping. So we're seeing broad-based buying across the soy complex here to finish up the week.
Yeah, and corn's kind of caught in the middle, down modestly at this time. Take us over to livestock trade, some plus signs.
Absolutely. So, a pretty solid finish to the week in the hog market and maybe the start of what is a delayed seasonal rally there. So good, strong gains for the week there. And live cattle, they're getting a little bit of a reprieve here with some corrective buying here to close out the week.
Good stuff, Beach. Thanks, man. That is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk and the Free For All. We've got Davis Michelson.
Hello.
Sean Haney, Jim Wiesmeyer on the Free For All today. I'm Chip Flory. Thanks for joining us. Sean Haney, do you know the calculation that equals excessive?
No.
No.
How about unconscionable? Do you have the you have the numbers on that? Unconscionable?
Hold on here. Let me check. No, I don't have that either.
Yet the House passed legislation that would that would allow the president to bar selling gasoline at excessive prices, and that passed the House on Thursday. It's a price cap, Haney, right?
Yeah, and it's one of those things that it sounds great when it doesn't, you know, it's not you. And so if you're, you know, somebody filling up a fuel, I don't think fuel should be any higher either. But right. Just imagine, flip it around a little bit. And it's like, what if the House passed profit caps on what farmers get paid for their corn or soybeans?
Oh man, you just went to where I was going to go. Jim Wiesmeyer, is $17 an excessive price for soybeans? Is $7.50 an excessive price for corn?
Users would say so. Users. Okay.
Right.
Well said.
Right. You know, and the way that the coverage is on this bill, Jim, does it give the president the ability to bar selling gasoline at excessive prices, or does it give the president to bar excessive prices for gasoline?
Well, it gives them the optics again. The Democrats in the House know the Senate is not going to go along with this measure, so they'll pass it, and then they can from Biden and everywhere else they can point the fingers of price gouging by the refiners.
Well, and see, now here's the rub too. If we go, I don't want to reopen this, but going back to Interior Secretary Hollins. She was asked specifically, are gas prices too high? Her response, well, stammer, I've been driving since I was 18. I remember the gas lines in the 70s, stammer, trails off.
Yeah.
What?
You're connecting the dots that I wanted to get to, because if the legislation would bar selling gasoline at excessive prices, the goal would be to keep prices at excessive levels so that it couldn't be sold. You see what I'm saying?
We're in interesting times. Holy smokes. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And we're looking for the easy fix, something that sounds good.
Yes.
You know, most consumers haven't thought about this. Oh, that sounds great. Perfect. Great. Look at, you know, I'm not going to pay more. Yeah. It's policy with fallacy.
Okay. All right. We need to, we need to keep moving here. Haney, what's the news on China putting Canadian canola back on the list for imports?
Great news on Wednesday. Yeah, and actually, I'm going to brag a little bit. We broke this story. We had this one before the mainstream news did.
Yeah, boy.
Real Agriculture. So, yeah, that was a pretty good Wednesday afternoon for us. So, yeah, China has, since going back 3 years, has not been taking raw canola seed. They have been taking oil and meal, but not canola seed from Richardson Grain or Viterra, two of our largest canola exporting grain companies. And they've put them back on the list. They've reinstated their export licenses so they can resume trade. This is, based on what the Canadian government said on Wednesday, this is a $2 billion decision. Good news celebrated across the industry. I think one of the big questions, Chip, is there's not a lot of canola around.
Right.
So is it going to have an immediate impact? Probably not. Hopefully it does on the 23 crop. I do wonder how much it is tied to the situation in Ukraine, being able to get, you know, winter rape out of Ukraine, what the overall shortage in the veg oil market, period. But you know what? Whatever the reason, no matter why they came to this this week, it's good news.
Well, they came to the decision because supplies are as tight as they are. And it just is so classic to reopen to a market when that market doesn't have adequate supply to meet your needs anyway. It's so China. You know, Jim, don't you agree?
Well, yes, and it's just what the administration is doing with Venezuela on oil, not to bring it here, but to free up some of the production to, sell to Europe. Very similar.
Okay. As long as we're talking about some of these export issues, Jim, do you understand India's wheat export ban? How extensive is it?
Well, the best industry sources that we have at Pro Farmer, Chip, are telling us that they wanted to put a stop on most of their exports, not all, until they had a better fix on their new crop. And once they get a handle on that, you'll see an announcement that frees up, I don't think totally, but will release more wheat for the export markets. Okay. And that kind of makes sense to me.
Well, and that's kind of what Indonesia did with the palm oil, right?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, there's been lots of flip-flopping there. Ugh, like back in India, I'm confused what Indonesia is doing at this point. They're back with their what they call their DMO, their domestic price 30%. I think they're reimposing that this morning again after yesterday saying they weren't going to ban exports. Very confusing what's happening in Indonesia.
Right. Right. Planning progress, guys. We made some significant progress, and this week the farmers in Iowa did a fantastic job kind of dancing around the raindrops. I think we've made significant progress again. But boy, you get to the far eastern Corn Belt, there's the problems over there are terrible. Western Minnesota into areas of South Dakota and a lot of North Dakota, looking at just terrible conditions. I got a message this morning that that there has been some progress in far northern South Dakota, but I'm not exactly sure what kind of an impact that this is going to have on the final crop mix, but I do know this. North Dakota is supposed to plant 7 million acres of soybeans to feed that export market in the 2022-23 marketing year. I have no idea if they're going to be able to get it planted. Haney, what's the situation up your way?
Here where I am in southern Alberta, just north of Montana, it has finally rained. We'll take more. But, you know, if you want to extend that North Dakota situation into Manitoba, it's the same urgency. It will not stop raining. It's unbelievable. People talking about floating wheat on, can we seed canola by airplane? All of those, and same on the grain corn front in Manitoba, people switching out of grain corn, moving into possibly canola. For on those 7 million acres, Chip, what are people in North Dakota going to switch to? Do they go to wheat? Do they think about increasing canola acres? Like, what's the switch to in a state like that?
If they don't get the beans planted, the switch may be to prevent plant. I hate to say that, but if it gets so bad that they can't even get the beans planted, am I looking at the radar right now? Is it snowing in the northern half, north central North Dakota right now?
I saw snow yesterday. Nick wants to sketch. Yeah, there's snow. Yeah, there is some snow falling. It's just about freezing. This is unreal. We are the end of May. It's not only the moisture that has fallen in that region up through the Dakotas and parts of Minnesota and into Manitoba. It's also how cool it has been.
Yeah.
And so on the days it's not raining, you're really not getting a lot of drying because it's so bloody cold. And this is unreal that we are almost in June and still at these temperatures.
Price.
And Chip, aren't you coming up to the prevent plant dates as well?
Yeah.
In some of these areas. Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I was going to go to back the 25th.
Yeah.
Back to our conversation with Ben Brown from the U of Missouri on report day last week on the 12th. The quote was, hesitant acres that should be put in prevent plant this year maybe won't be. And he saw that as a potential problem for the market.
Just trying to figure out.
Problem may be fixing itself. Yeah.
If they do continue to try to plant corn, yeah, we get the acres in the ground, but what's going to be the yield potential on it?
Do we get the crop? Yeah.
Do we get the crop? Yeah. Do we get the acres, but none of the bushels?
Yep.
That's going to be something that the market is going to have to spend some time trying to figure out. So,
Well, it's the same as the winter wheat situation, through part of the wheat belt in the U.S. and you continue north into the Canadian prairies. that's a big, the same question being asked on wheat is what does it look like based on some of the conditions? Because you look at the drought monitor map, the whole western half of the U.S.
Yes,
that's a whole other story of dry. It's incredible the divergence between west and in eastern half of the country. It's amazing. It's such a visual. It's just stark.
And then you've got the issues in France. You've got the issues in obviously in India. You've got the disrupted farming in Ukraine. Jim, the focus on global food supplies seems to be well placed.
Yes, and it's growing now with the major media focusing on it, Financial Times, you name it. And this makes the 20 to 22 million tons of grain in Ukraine so much more important. And that's why when Reuters said that the White House may give Ukraine advanced anti-ship missiles that could help defeat the Russia's naval blockade and would allow grain shipments to resume, they're going to try to find some way to unleash that 20 million tons of grain.
Front page of The Economist this week.
Yes.
The coming food catastrophe. War is tipping a fragile world towards mass hunger. Fixing that is everyone's business. It's definitely gone mainstream.
Wow. And now you've got even Egypt, as you reported this morning, Jim. Egypt is even saying, listen, Russia, we know what you're doing. We need the wheat, but we're not willing to take that wheat that you stole from Ukraine. It's just an amazing story developing.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use. Hey.
Your next piece of equipment is on MachineryPete.com. Search equipment from dealerships across the country to find what you're looking for. Only on MachineryPete.com.
Justin Timberlake to make me feel a little better now.
Better now, Mama Timberlake.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Jeff. That's Davis.
Hi.
And we're going to wrap up the free-for-all. We got Jim Wiesmeyer from Pro Farmer and Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio, Sean Haney. Guys, this morning with Jennifer Scheich, we talked about someone that's been on the Farmer Forum here on AgriTalk, A.V. Roth, past president of the National Pork Producers Council. And I was a little surprised this morning. I was sitting here and I had Fox Business on, and I hear Stuart Varney say, and joining us now, fifth generation farmer Ben Renchi. And I swung around real slow in my chair, and there was our friend Ben Renchi on Fox Business, talking about fuel prices, talking about input prices, talking about fertilizer prices, talking about margins and the potential for revenue, the potential for profits in not only 2022, but looking forward into 2023. Davis, everybody's trying to figure out this 2023 fertilizer market.
Absolutely. And just for a point of reference, we're still seeing fertilizer prices climb. According to USDA's Iowa production cost summary as of May 17, anhydrous ammonia is up another $15 on average in Iowa. Flip over to Illinois. They're up over $1,600 a short ton, up $28 on the week. And the thing that concerns me, liquid nitrogen, 32% up in both states. It's a concern.
Jim, lots of talk about tariffs on fertilizer products and the need to remove some of those.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Secretary Vilsack, next Thursday, Chip, before the Senate Ag Committee, is going to testify on the topic, opportunities and challenges facing farmers, families, and rural communities. And you can bet this will come up.
Well, we've talked about this before in terms of should there be compensation to farmers for these rising input costs. And today, the European Commission proposes increased support for up to 1.4 billion euro for EU farmers and agri-food businesses affected by rising prices in terms of energy, fertilizer, and feed. So it's starting to happen. Should it happen? I don't know.
But. Yeah. Is some of that part of the reason that the ERP, the Emergency Relief Program, which was the old WIP Plus, did the $6 billion total on that kind of surprise you? I mean, phase two could get us to $10 billion, right?
Almost $10 billion. Absolutely. Almost 10. Phase one is $6
billion. Right. Right. Okay. Inflation, it's being reported and impacting earnings at Target, at Walmart. Jim, equities are now 15-16% off the highs that we made in January. The Dow is it's worse for the NASDAQ, and for the S&P 500, I believe, is in about that 15% range. So I mean, clearly we've got equities in a bear market now, right?
Well, NASDAQ for sure. You're near the S&P, and the Dow looks like it'll go under 30,000 today. And maybe, not today, under 31,000 today, and probably under 30,000 before we see a basing low here in the next month or so, Chip.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, Chip, the NASDAQ's down 29% year to date.
Yeah. Just, and that's clearly a bear market. All right. President Biden has agreed to invoke the Defense Production Act to get baby formula producers the ingredients that they need. Is it going to work, Jim?
Oh, this one will work because they're finally focused on it. But as hearings made clear this week, Chip, it was really incompetency at the FDA on this one. Pure and simple.
Pure and simple. They knew the situation at the Abbott Laboratories facility for so long and could have done something about it months ago.
Yes. And USDA is involved with this, expediting some shipments by airplane from overseas, et cetera. The focus is there now. Politically, when you hear the word baby and feed problems, you better get hopping.
That's right. That's exactly right. Monday, Title 42 is lifted, right, Jim?
Unless a court justice intervenes, which if I had to guess, I think that a court will bail the administration out on this one, but that's just my speculation.
It is an absolute mess.
What is Title 42?
Jim, explain Title 42.
You can use that to halt or almost halt immigration. It hasn't worked all that well, but it stopped it to a degree. But if not, Chip, if this is allowed to end, Texas is saying you're going to have an equivalent of the size of Houston about every month come in.
Oof. Right. Yeah.
That's context.
Oh,
yes.
Absolutely. Hey, Jim, a question that Haney had in the prep work. Will the U.S. apply retaliatory tariffs on Canada for dairy TRQs?
Vilsack and Ty, our U.S. trade rep, is certainly being pressed to. They do want to avoid that. But, you know, this is getting into the credibility of the dispute resolution with the North American Trade Agreement. I like to call it USMCA from our perspective, CUSMA for Canada's perspective. So I think, honestly, the administration wants to avoid retaliation, but they think Canada is dragging on this one, to be truthful.
And the U.S. isn't the only one complaining. New Zealand is filing the exact same grievance under the CPTPP agreement. So Canada is getting it on all sides on this one.
All right. Haney, what are you watching in the week ahead?
Will it continue to rain in parts of the Palliser Triangle here in the, on the western part of the prairies? We need more rain, Chip, as Manitoba and North Dakota never stop. So
yeah, it just needs to move in from the east is what it needs to do and get pushed back your way. Davis, same question to you. What are you watching?
I'm going to be watching this heat wave on the East Coast and what it does for energy demand as people try to stay cool over there.
Gotcha. Wiesmeyer?
Vilsack on Thursday, but I want to one real quick. This week we had the first hearing on unidentified aerial phenomena since the 60s. But when went through it, there was no aliens. But we're concerned about military aircraft developed by an adversary such as Russia or China that's behind some of these.
All right, I'm going to be watching that grain movement out of Ukraine. Come back this afternoon, Kirk Kimmel.